And we want to read verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this meeting as has already been prayed. For the opportunity to gather with your people, to gather around your word. And we pray that you would be our teacher tonight. That you would take us into your heart concerning these thoughts that are in this verse. And show us the things from your word that we need to see. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wednesday night, we began talking about the subject of the way things ought to be. The basis for that thought is right here in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle that he was to make all things, according to the pattern that was showed to him in the mount. Moses was to make the tabernacle on earth in every detail, just like the tabernacle in heaven. And what applies to the tabernacle in the Old Testament applies to its counterpart in the New Testament, the local New Testament church. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, I will build my church. And his plan is to build it according to the pattern that he shows us here in his word. And this pattern that we find here in his word is the way things ought to be. This pattern that we find here in his word is the way that the church is to be built in every location. It's not to be built according to our plan or according to our opinion or our personal preferences. There's no room for any private interpretation of the Lord's instructions. The local church is to be built according to God's heavenly pattern, according to his word that is forever settled in heaven. Now, why talk about these things? That's a fair and a reasonable question. And to answer it, I would mention two examples from God's word. One of the reasons that there is a younger generation in this church. There's a younger generation that is coming behind us. And they need not just to conform to these things to get along. But these things need to be convictions in their hearts. Conformity was the problem in the nation of Israel when they possessed the promised land. Look back at Judges chapter 2, if you will. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. And look at verse 7. Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. And the people served the Lord. That's the younger generation that was coming on. The younger generation that was coming on among the people of God in the promised land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. In verse 8, we see that Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died. In verse 10, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And then we read these words in the middle of verse 10. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. This is the very same generation of whom it was said in verse 7 that they served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. This is a generation that conformed. That's what their service to the Lord was. It was conformity. Outwardly, that generation conformed to the teaching of the Word of God. That's how they were able to get along with Joshua and the elders and the leadership of the older generation. But inwardly, they had no convictions from the Word of God. And when Joshua and the elders that outlived Joshua and all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, the generation that rose up after them, their conformity of all of those years was exposed. And it manifested itself as rebellion, as we see in verse 12. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers. There's a verse that comes to mind in relation to what we're reading here. The verse is found in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now the primary application of that verse concerns salvation. People get saved when the word preached, when the gospel preached how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. People get saved when the gospel preached unto them is mixed with faith in their hearts. But I believe this verse also explains the difference between conformity and conviction. We talk about that a lot in this church. I believe it's a critical, these are two critical terms. And the distinction between them is the distinction and the difference between life and death. Conformity is when the word preached is heard, and outwardly the word preached is gone along with. Lip service is done to it, we might say. But it's not mixed with faith in the heart. And the symptom of conformity, the symptom that what we have in our life is conformity, is the lack of fruit in the life. The symptom of conformity is that our walk doesn't match our talk. We talk one way and walk another. We talk one way and live another. Conviction, on the other hand, is when the word preached is not just heard. We spent some messages last week and I guess maybe the week before. Wow, it's amazing how time goes by. But we talked about the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. And this is an example of its importance. Conviction is when the word preached is not just heard. It's when it's mixed with faith in the heart. And that word that is mixed with faith manifests itself as convictions in the life by obedience to the patterns and the standards of the Word of God. You see, this issue of conformity versus conviction has an application in the lives of those who are saved as well as those who are lost. We're thinking about it in these messages as it applies to those who are saved. Those who are saved and our need to conform to the pattern of the Word of God for doing God's work. Our need to have convictions about the patterns that we find here in the Word of God, the way that God's work is to be done here in the world. So that's the first example from the Word of God as to why we're talking about these things. Because we can have a generation arise in this church that has conformed to the pattern of the Word of God, And it was done because that's how you got along with Mr. Creech and the teachers here at Calvary Christian School. It's how you get along with the pastor and the board of elders now. But for example, if you have just conformed to the standard that we have here, that the King James Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God, and we believe that with reasons. We believe that because the King James Bible is the only one that fits the pattern that we find here in the Word of God. But if that's only a conformity in your life and not a conviction, then when the elders in this generation are gathered unto their fathers, this church will forsake the King James Bible standard and stand that's been taken since the beginning of this church. And the other versions will come in. And when that happens, then all the other things that the next generation has perhaps just conformed to will change. The standard of music that we have here. We don't want rock music in this church because it doesn't fit the pattern that we find here in the Word of God. But if that is a conformity in your life and you're waiting, Brother Chubb Sewell, many of you knew him. He said there were people that would come up to him and they would shake their fist in his face and they say, "I look for your name in the obituary column every day." Well, I don't believe any of you here are looking in the obituary column for the name of the elders and the leadership here in the church. At least I hope you're not. For right now, if you are, I hope you don't find it. But if you're waiting for this group of elders, this group of this generation to be gathered unto their fathers so that you can bring in ideas that are foreign to us as we understand the Word of God, then what you have is conformity in your life and not conviction. And when the King James Bible is left, then when that happens, when that standard is left, the music will change. It'll change. The preaching will change. The name on the sign will change. The emphasis on numbers and buildings and programs for the youth will change. But these are things that are perhaps out in the future. Let's talk about right now. What happens when you are out from under the influence of Mr. Creech and the teachers here at Calvary Christian School? And you're out from under that influence when you leave the school grounds each day. And it grieves me to say what I'm about to say, but I believe it's the truth. One of the biggest promoters of the philosophy of conformity versus conviction are some of the parents that send their children to Calvary Christian School. Parents who sanction and allow their children to have two wardrobes. One for school, because you have to conform to that. Because I don't want to be called and interrupted on my job to take you home to change clothes because you're out of dress code. But outside of the school, that's a different story. Outside of the school, we have a different set of standards. And that includes what we wear to church. Parents, if that is our philosophy, you may as well take the dress code book and tear it in two in front of your children. Because that's what your actions are doing. And in addition, you need to understand that what you are promoting is this philosophy of conformity over conviction. And oh, the danger of that. Because hearing the Word of God preached, conforming to it outwardly without the gospel preached being mixed with faith in the heart, is the very definition of what it means to have a false profession. That's why we're talking about these things. because it gives us an opportunity as a body of believers to examine ourselves before the Lord. Are we obedient to the patterns of the Word of God because this Word has been mixed with faith in our hearts and we're bringing forth the fruit of conviction? Or are we bringing forth the fruit of conformity, which is rebellion against the patterns of this book? That's the first reason that we are thinking about these things. The second reason is an example that we find in something that we talked about recently. It's in 1 Kings chapter 13. And I'd like for you to turn there if you would. 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. I guess these messages to a great degree are born out of our recent studies in Judges chapter 2. I think we studied there maybe earlier this year or late last year. It's born out of our studies there, and it's a continuation of our studies there and our studies recently in 1 Kings 13. Here in this chapter, we talked about this man of God who came out of Judah. And he came to Bethel to preach the message of "Thus saith the Lord" to Jeroboam. And he did that. And what happened was that this man of God was confronted by two enemies. One, of course, was Jeroboam. That confrontation, that attack was expected by the man of God. But what he was not expecting and what he failed to recognize was a very subtle attack from an old prophet. We see him there in verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And the reason this man of God failed to this attack is because he left the pattern of the Word of God that the Lord had established for his ministry. And that pattern was the word of the Lord. That pattern was "Thus saith the Lord." That was the pattern for his ministry. It was the pattern that he was to follow. But he left that pattern. And that can happen here. It can happen here at Calvary Memorial Church. It can happen at Calvary Christian School. I believe that it's unlikely that Jeroboam himself will ever make much headway getting into this church. What is far more likely is that the old prophet will get into this church. And in the end, there's no difference between Jeroboam and the old prophet as far as Satan's concerned. Jeroboam and the old prophet both had the same message. Jeroboam's message to the man of God was, "Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." The old prophet's message to this man of God was, "Come home with me and eat bread." Same message, basically, as Jeroboam's, except for one thing. And this is where the deception came in. The old prophet wrapped his message in great spiritual words. The old prophet wrapped his message of deception in the word of the Lord. He said, "I am a prophet also as thou art." We see that in verse 18. "I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him." This old prophet lied in the name of the Lord. That gives you an idea of the deception of our day. The Lord Jesus, when he was asked, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" And the first thing he said is, "Beware lest any man deceive you." This is the deception of our day. It wasn't Jeroboam that got this man of God to lead the pattern of the Word of God. It was an old prophet. And I'd like to suggest a thought to you about this old prophet, or at least an application of this old prophet. I believe he really was a prophet of the Lord. I may be wrong about that, but I believe he was at a point in his life. But what this old prophet had done is exactly what so many of the old prophets of our day have done. Brother Jim preached an excellent message about it the other Wednesday night. I hope he's going to talk about it again when he speaks again. This old prophet failed to heed the admonition that we find in Romans chapter 16 and verse 7. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Jeroboam had caused divisions and offenses that were contrary to the doctrine, that were contrary to the pattern of the law of God that the people of Israel had learned. And there were those in Israel, there were those in Bethel who had marked Jeroboam. They had marked Jeroboam in the priests that he ordained, because of the divisions and offenses that were contrary to the doctrine of the law of God. We read about them when we were looking at this passage a couple of weeks or so ago. We read about them in 2 Chronicles 11:14. For the Levites left their suburbs in their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. I find that language very instructive. Jeroboam and his sons had not cast them out. They had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. That was the division and offense that was contrary to the doctrine, that was contrary to the pattern of the Word of God. In other words, Jeroboam said, look, you priests, I don't have a problem if you execute the priest's office, as you always have, but not unto the Lord. You're going to execute it unto these golden calves that I've made. You're going to execute it to honor this religion of convenience and ease that I'm offering to the people of Israel. You can exercise the office of priest as you always have, but not unto the Lord. You're going to execute it to these calves, and you're going to execute it on the day and the month that I tell you to do it. Well, there were Levites, and after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, who marked Jeroboam because he was causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, contrary to the pattern of the Word of God, and they avoided him. And avoiding Jeroboam cost them something. It meant leaving their suburbs. It meant leaving their lands. It meant giving up their place. It meant giving up their possessions. And they did it because they'd set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel. They had set their hearts to follow the pattern of the Word of God, but not this old prophet. Not this old prophet. That was just too much for him. And so he stayed in Bethel. And folks, when you do not mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have heard, when you don't mark those people and avoid them, then there's only one thing that's going to happen. You're going to join them. And you're going to give up your convictions. And you're going to conform to the divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And there's something in this 13th chapter of 1 Kings that is very instructive here. It's amazing how you read through the Word of God and you see things and you think about them and you talk about them and then you read it again and there's something entirely different. There's something very instructive here. It's one of the characteristics. It's one of the ways that we can identify when someone or some ministry that once stood for the truth has compromised. Some person, some ministry that once stood for the truth that has failed to separate from error. Will you notice that this old prophet never, there's nothing in the record, he never attacked Jeroboam for causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, contrary to the pattern of the Word of God. Do you know who he attacked? This old prophet attacked the man of God who was preaching, "Thus saith the Lord." The old prophets and the old prophet ministries are the same way today. They won't criticize the Jeroboams of our day. They won't mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. They won't tell you to avoid them. But I'll tell you what they will do. They'll attack you for marking and naming those who cause the divisions, who introduce the offenses that are contrary to the pattern of the Word of God by preaching, "Thus saith the Lord." You'll never hear the old prophets and the old prophet ministries of our day criticize and condemn the heresies of Westcott and Hort. But they'll accuse you and they'll attack you for causing division in the body of Christ, for preaching what "Thus saith the Lord" about all these other Bible versions that are based on Westcott and Hort's corrupt manuscripts. The old prophets and the old ministries of our day will never criticize the Jeroboam of denominational names, or the Jeroboam of contemporary Christian music, or the Jeroboam of programs and gimmicks in order to increase numbers. But they'll attack you for preaching what "Thus saith the Lord." They'll attack you for preaching about the pattern of the Word of God concerning these things. They'll call you narrow-minded and unloving. And they'll do it in a deceptive way. The old prophets of our day, the old prophet ministries of our day, are just like this old prophet here. They'll come and they'll say, as this old prophet said, "I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel of the Lord spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, the oldest and best manuscripts are the new and modern way." It's just the Word of God. It's the same Bible. It's just in easier to understand English. "I'm a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, contemporary Christian music is the music of praise and worship. And you can still have the traditional hymns. We don't mind. But this music is a way to reach more people for Christ. Aren't you for that? I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, the name on the sign doesn't make any difference. It just shows that you are mainstream. It just shows like you're like all the other churches. It'll just make people more comfortable." We've talked before how it's amazing when you people ask you where you go to church, you say Calvary Memorial Church. And they go, whoa. I don't know about that. I don't know. Calvary Memorial Church, what kind of place is that? You know how much thought they'd give it if you said you went to Calvary Baptist Church? None. We're a square peg that people are trying to put in a round hole. It doesn't fit. We don't fit. You need to be more mainstream. It's all that you need to do. Make people comfortable. I am a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, what you need are programs for the young people. What you need are high-intensity meetings for the young people that are filled with games and food and preaching in that order. Games, food, and preaching in that order. I read it on a email Brother Dwight got. He forwarded it to me about a meeting at a church for young people. And that's what it said. High intensity youth meeting filled with games, food, and preaching. That order struck me. Struck Brother Dwight because he wrote back. He answered the email. And Lord willing, I want to read that email to you in another message. Because what he wrote was incredible. What the person wrote back to him was incredible. You know what he told Brother Dwight? You need to apologize to that brother you criticized. You need to apologize. You see, the old prophets are not going to criticize the new methods of the world. But they'll attack you. They'll criticize you for talking about the pattern of the Word of God. Games, food, preaching. That order. That's what gets results with young people. That's how you win them. And when you get the young people, then you can get their parents. And your numbers will grow. And your ministry will flourish. And you'll need more and bigger and better buildings. Folks, this is why we're talking about these things. So that we can recognize the old prophet. So that we can recognize the old prophet ministries. And they're out there. Because we want to be obedient to the pattern of the Word of God. We want to be obedient to God's command. The verse that's our text. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. See that thou make all things, according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to study your word again together. And we pray that your word would be mixed with faith in our hearts. To the end that what is formed in our hearts and what manifests itself in our life are convictions. Convictions concerning the pattern that you have established for us here in your word. We pray that you would help us to examine ourselves tonight about this issue of conformity versus conviction. We're starting another school year, Lord willing, in the morning. And these children will be faced with that issue again every day. Are they conforming to get along? Or do they have convictions? We pray that you would bless this school year. We pray that you would bless the staff, those who work in maintenance, and the lunchroom, those that feed us, those that take care of the buildings and the grounds, those who teach in the classroom. We pray that you bless Mr. Creech as he directs this school. Bless him as he deals with parents and teachers and students many times in very difficult situations. We pray that you would give him wisdom from yourself. We pray that you would direct his thoughts for the messages in chapel. Direct the teacher's thoughts for the messages, for the devotions in homeroom. We pray that your word would be faithfully given this year, and that there would be young people who would surrender their hearts to you. First and foremost, to trust you as their Savior, and then to surrender their hearts to you to live a life of conviction that will count for eternity. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.